It's Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Unlimited Life. Today we have such a special show for you. We are actually in the television studio right now of Absolute Live Productions, and we're doing a live television version of the show, which has just been amazing. And today's guest is Jody Geigel, and Jody Geigel is a nutritionalist. She's a holistic master. And when Dr. Kevin Ross Emery that we had on was talking about legalized child abuse, and it hurt my heart so much, the idea of legalized child abuse, and what is that? Just the term just crushed me. And then he was talking about childhood obesity and diabetes today and children and, the lack of swing sets and playgrounds and places to roam and fitness for children and what we've actually done with our children with fast food. And, I really wanted a solution. I didn't want it to just be a problem that was out there in the world. And I was talking to Jody, and she is truly one of the most gifted nutritionalists, not just for children, for adults, for every walk of your life, to really get you to live that unlimited life that we all dream of and desire, that energy level, that beautiful skin, the shiny hair, the great, passionate sex life, whatever it is that you want. How do you have that vibrancy? How do you have that vitality? How do you have that energy? How do you have the body you always dreamed of and desired? And so we've got so much to talk to Jody about today, and I am so thrilled to welcome from Eat Clean Health, Jody Geigel. Jody, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's so much fun having you here. It really is. And so at the top of the show, I was talking about that we had Dr. Kevin Ross Emery on, and he was talking about legalized child abuse, which was really hurt my heart, just the term. I had trouble even writing it, even for a show producer, even posting it, we're like, is this really what we want to say? And then we were talking about, obesity, and we were talking about the childhood diabetic situation and ADHD and autism and all of these different, nutritional lacks in our society today, and a maze sort of controversy and confusion on what to eat and how to eat. And right away, at the end of the show, I hung up the phone and I went to our show's producer and I said, I want to bring Jody on. Because it's one thing to say these are problems in the world. We have pollution, whatever, that people are throwing plastic bags in the ocean. There are things that are obvious. As long as our eyes are open, we can't ride down the street without seeing fast food restaurants. And we can't go to the supermarket without having all these options. But it's always nice to have a solution and an answer. And I know from your work that people come to you and they come over this threshold, I guess is a good way to say it, or through this door that they never even knew existed. I mean, I was talking to you earlier about that. I know people that have taken your program and they are like Mexican jumping beans. They're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is incredible. I mean, people that I never would have thought, people that are like, sit in dark rooms all day long and they eat potato chips and Coke as their diet, and they've never seen anything green, not even outside the grass or a tree, or they just, they're like curmudgeons. And they've taken your program and they are, first of all, it's easy. Oh my gosh, they say this is like so easy and it's so delicious, better than fine restaurants I've been to. And I know that on the other side of that is a life they never knew existed. And that's why I thought for Unlimited Life it would be so exciting to bring you on.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing, and I love that you just said that, because so many people don't realize not only how easy or how delicious it can be, but actually how it does transform your entire life. And it is about feeding yourself well in order to feel and look your best. There's the vanity part of it where we all want to look healthy and young and glowing, which food can absolutely do that. But on an even deeper level, it actually transforms your energy so that your daily life and your job and your relationships, all these other things that seem like an external avenue to food, are actually improved. And that's the really exciting thing about feeding yourself well.
I love that. I absolutely love that. So first tell me a little bit about your background, because when you know, it's funny because we're on the radio, and everybody close your eyes and imagine the most beautiful woman you can imagine, and she's on the other side. I mean, you're gorgeous. You're absolutely gorgeous. And so it's true. And when someone sees you walk in a room, it's natural for people to light up around you just because you're so beautiful. You really are. But not only are you gorgeous, but you carry this energy of light and joy and effervescence and happiness, and all of this stuff comes with you. And then when somebody asks you what you do, and you're a nutritionalist and holistic nutritionalist too, so in the most purified way, it makes perfect sense. But how did you step into this world? Because it's an amazing world, and you do it better than anyone I've ever met. I mean, you really are such an expert and so wise in this area. So tell me a little bit about your journey.
Yes, absolutely. And first of all, thank you. If they could see me, they would see that I am blushing right now. Thank you very much for the compliments. That was very, very kind of you. So my journey actually, you know, growing up, I was very physically active. So things like fitness and exercise were already part of the world that I lived in. But I didn't make the connection between the foods that I was eating and how my body was performing until I was actually in my early 20s. And it was at that time that poor dietary choices had really caught up with me, and I had ended up gaining some weight, and I actually ended up developing a skin condition called dermatitis, which looks a little bit like acne, but it's large pustules that kind of form on your chin and cheek area. And at the time, my lifestyle was incredibly unhealthy, even if I didn't realize it. My stress levels were very high. I wasn't sleeping very well. I wasn't eating well at all, and I wasn't taking care of myself. And this was my wake-up call, so to speak. And I went to traditional doctors and tried doing antibiotics to clear up my skin and topical creams and things like that. And nothing actually healed it. So I very quickly realized that I needed to educate myself, which is what I did. And I educated myself about healthy eating and about what I was consuming daily that was negatively impacting both my internal and external appearance. And when I did that, I became introduced to the idea of finding the root cause of health problems. And that was my first introduction into holistic health, which is the basis of the programs that I now do with clients. And that simply means that I look at the whole of a person. So in addition to looking at foods that people eat, I also want to take a look at their lifestyle factors, and that can include things like stress and sleep, but it can also include things like relationships and job and spirituality. And if one of those areas is markedly out of balance, that is also going to impact your health. And so my journey to doing this was my own body and my own health. And as soon as I started taking better care of myself, not just dietarily, but also in the way that I was living, my health, my skin, my weight, everything normalized and balanced itself. And to me, that was such an exciting thing that led me to then combine my passion of physical exercise and activity with food into a career, obviously, but then also into a way to help other people do the same, which is, you know, how I've gotten to how I am now.
That's amazing. I mean, to look at you, you would absolutely never, I always love that when someone's like, oh, yeah, you know, I used to be at a trillion pounds, or, you know, or I used to, you know, have this skin condition, or I mean, it's amazing because you were like the most radiant, vibrant, you know, specimen. It's like if you're going to beam somebody up, you'd be the person they'd want to take. They go, take her, like, truly. Like, so, you know, it's just so how inspirational for people to know that. And I love that. And I love that you say you talk in relationships, because now people are going to call you for, like, marriage counseling, or say, my boyfriend. You know, I work on all areas. And,
but it's important,
you know,
too, because if you are in a toxic relationship, even if you're eating really well or exercising very intensely, if you are in a toxic relationship, that also is going to affect your stress hormones, which are in turn going to affect not only the food choices you make, but also what your body does with food once you eat it. So it is so very much connected, and it's a lot of times people don't make that connection simply because they aren't aware.
That's fascinating, truly. And I know we were talking about childhood obesity, And it's such a sad, I read something on Facebook the other day, maybe it was just yesterday actually, and they had a baby, I think he was only like 3 or 4 years old, and he was huge, huge, and they were saying like he's the world's largest child or something like that, and that they put him on this diet, but that his mom said it was completely her fault, that she just fed him whenever he was hungry. And so it's not any medical condition. And they said that even once he loses this weight, I mean, he's like, you know, the size of some child 6 or 7 years older than him or something like that, that even when he loses the weight, that his body's going to have difficulty because, you know, as he was growing, you know, so much was taxed onto his system. And so is it really, I mean, not at that level, but is childhood obesity something we should be worried about today?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it definitely is just kind of a small statistic. Childhood obesity has actually tripled since 1980. It used to be about 5% of our population. It has now reached 17 to 18%. And just to kind of throw some more numbers out there, only 9% of adolescents and toddlers eat the recommended daily fruit and vegetable recommendations. So we definitely have a problem as far as what we as a society and specifically parents too view as acceptable food for our children. We have stepped very far away from eating real, whole, nutrient-dense food, and we have moved into a sphere where prepackaged food and processed foods and things that are ready-made and very convenient are our go-to for meals. And while it's very convenient for time, it is actually killing us. And that is starting to show up now not only in the adult population, but very tragically in the children population. And it also sets them up not only for battling weight their entire life, but that in turn leads to very serious health issues such as heart disease and high blood pressure and diabetes and things that were never associated with children that we now see 5 and 6 and 8 year olds having. There's also the wear and tear on your joints. When you are that overweight on that small of a frame, you are also setting up your body to have physical problems for the rest of your life because your body cannot handle how much weight you are putting on it while it is still trying to grow and form. And then compounded on top of that, you also have the psychological factors, right? And there are a number of kids that suffer from things like depression, or extreme shyness because of the size that they are and whether they are being made fun of at school or they just feel guilty or wrong about it. So they have physical problems and mental problems and developmental problems. And it is just a cycle that's getting bigger and bigger, and we really need to figure out how to enable parents as well as school systems to start reversing this.
What incredible information. I mean, it's absolutely riveting when we look at the statistics and disheartening at the same time. And I know that you and I had a discussion when we were talking about the legalized child abuse aspect, that you were saying that you don't really believe that any parent, and, you know, and I have to agree with you here, is intentionally wanting to hurt their child. That parents, their first instinct is to love and to protect and to cherish that child and to make sure that they're safe from the world and from anything that could ever, ever, ever harm that child. And so that's our first instinct and thought. And so how do we educate parents? What do parents need to know to make different choices?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I wish that there was a simple do this, not that solution, but I think it comes down to different levels of government programs and school programs and even television and food marketing, things that need a very specific change. Because if parents are feeding their kids this, chances are they don't know how catastrophic it is for their children. So simple awareness about what they are feeding their kids is a great first start. And then also, since we're in the middle of the epidemic, we need to figure out how to start reversing it. And that entails things like markedly changing the foods that you buy at the grocery store, taking soda machines and vending machines out of schools and replacing them with water, with healthier snack options. Things like that. And it also comes down for a lot of families, too, is making things affordable. So we want to make sure that fresh produce and farmers markets and things like that are readily accessible and affordable to families. Because a lot of times, what I hear a lot is that parents don't have time or they don't have money to feed their children in a way that they think is healthy. And while that can be true on some levels, there are also ways to get around that and still feed yourself and your kids well on a budget. But you need to have tools and you need to have somebody who can say, okay, well then buy this in bulk and make three different meals out of it. It's healthy and it's going to feed your family well. And it's just very simple resources and recipes like that that I don't think the average person at this point has access to.
Mm. You gave me a statistic once. I remember talking about how much the government spends in, was it in obesity or in the problems
yes.
with children's health?
Yes, it was actually specifically related to childhood obesity, and the government has estimated that they spend $3 billion per year on health-related or healthcare costs specifically related to childhood obesity. And that's another really great example of where we can take our attention and money and resources and put it into preventative healthcare programs, put wellness programs into schools and even into workplaces so both the parents and the children are getting exposed to what healthy eating and what healthy living really looks like. And another argument or point that has been made is about the safety. So if our kids are not moving as much because PE programs have been taken out of schools, they're not playing in their neighborhoods either because maybe their neighborhoods are unsafe. So let's funnel some of this $3 billion instead of waiting until we have children that are sick and have chronic illness. Let's put that into making neighborhoods and parks safer and more available. Things like that where we're just shifting our perspective and instead of waiting until someone is sick, giving them the tools that they need to prevent them from getting sick and obese in the first place.
Mm, just amazing. I agree completely. And it's such a shame when you look at that our swing sets. You know, I work with the Los Angeles Beautification Team, and we talk about how schools have asphalt now, or that, you know, we no longer have parks where kids run and play, or that we don't have swing sets or playgrounds because people are afraid of the insurance, and that kids used to ride their bikes to go to their friend's house, and now they're shut themselves in their bedroom and they're on FaceTime or they're on Skype or they see their friends on, you know, a TV screen or on their phone. And so with the reversal or the lack of funding for fitness programs, how do we keep our kids healthy and thriving and growing? Because I know when I was a kid, my mom used to stand me against the wall and she would measure me and she would make sure I was growing.
Yeah. My mom would actually send us outside. Like, we were not TV maybe once or twice a week, and even that was for a limited time frame. Other than that, she was always like, go play outside. So even if that is not an option for whatever reason in your household, that doesn't mean that the television or the computer has to be on. Still turn those off and get physical even within the house. Or if that means using a Wii and playing whatever sport or dance you play on that, do that. But there are ways to encourage kids to be active that don't have to rely on a PE program or some type of community program. I truly believe it has to start within the structure and the rules that you set up in your household. And that relates both to exercise and to eating. You know, it's very easy to bring in that junk food or to zone out in front of the computer. But if you set very simple structures about how many hours per week those things can be done or how many times that, you know, snack can be had, then that just becomes your new normal. So 80 or 90% of your time is spent being active and eating well, and then you have those other small moments of food or inactivity, but they're the minority. They're not the majority of what your time is spent.
I love that you're talking about that, because I know that I read an article that was saying that if you offered a child an apple or a grape and a cookie and they didn't know what the cookie was, they would pick the apple or the grape, like that they're naturally drawn instinctively to the healthy food. But it's really our society that says, if you're good, I'll get you ice cream. Or if you're good, I'll give you a cookie, or that becomes a reward, or almost like, you know, you use the word once, treat, that they become treats. And when you said that, I always think of my dog, because I have two of the littlest dogs on the planet. I have one dog that's 2 pounds, 3 ounces, fully grown. And my other dog is 3.5 pounds, and I could be in another country and say the word treat, and they jump off the bed, and they know that word treat. They respond to treat. And so our children are sort of that same way, that we teach them this is a treat, and there is this response to sugar, to Halloween, you know, a bag of candy. And so what do you do?
Yeah. Well, and one is, you know, first of all, we can reframe what we think a treat is. So if we're going to treat them because they've done something awesome, maybe find something that involves, you know, going to their favorite, you know, roller skating rink. That might kind of date me. I don't know what that is in modern times, but something that is still exciting and fun for them, but that is not related to junk food. Or if you would like it to be related to food, then find a healthy option for that. You know, I always encourage people to cook their own meals and things from scratch. So if you really want to give your child a treat, how about treat them to baking, right? And actually have them make their own treat, so they can see how it's done. You are in control of the ingredients, and that's something that they have for that one time. But then, like I said, the other 90% of your time is not eating treats.
That makes so much sense. It absolutely does. Now, we do the same for our husbands and our wives. You know? And it's like, okay, if you're good, I will make you this chocolate double chocolate souffle or whatever that is, you know, and
other things. It's also like, you know, if you know, you look like you could use some indulgence, so I've gotten you a massage someplace. And obviously, you're probably not going to get a kid a massage, but there is a childhood equivalent to that kind of approach. And I also think, too, you mentioned something how we give kids candy or cakes when they've been good or as a reward. We also do it as a comfort blanket. So if a kid is crying, or if a child has had a rough day or is upset or fell down on the playground, in order to get them to stop crying, we also then, in some ways, bribe them with food. It's like, okay, well, if you stop crying or if you're upset, here, have this piece of chocolate. That's going to make you feel better. And that is also a very large disservice to your child, because they are going to then associate food with emotion. So then when they become teenagers and adults, they have very strong emotional eating issues, because they don't have coping skills for days that are very stressful or very emotional besides running to food and binging on a bunch of sugar.
Boy, patterns we set up for ourselves and for our children, just incredible. And so what do you suggest? You know, you kids come home and we have Pop-Tarts and we have cake and we have cookies and we have chips and we have whatever, and it's in our cupboards, and the kids come home and they grab what's ever there, and then they go on FaceTime or they're hanging out on their computer or whatever, they're playing with their phone. And so what shifts? What changes? What are the options? What's the solution?
Yeah, absolutely. So one, if you don't have these things in your home, your child can't eat it. And if you do have them in your home, have them in small and controlled quantities. So if you do have some soda or you do have some chips, it should be something that your children are aware of is not just an anytime snack. It is a special occasion food. And so when they come home and they're hungry, I have friends that are parents, and what they do is they cut up a bunch of fresh fruit and vegetables and have things like hummus or whole grain crackers or things like that, and they have them in their cupboards and in their fridge on a shelf that is very easily accessible to the child's height. So when they are hungry or they come home from playing or from school, they can just go and help themselves to whatever it is that they would like, but it's healthy food and it's clean food. which is a fantastic way to encourage your child's independence, first of all, because they are not relying on you to provide all of their meals or snacks. They can go and get it for themselves, but it's also helping them create healthy eating habits so that when they do become older, when they do become adults, and they go into their own homes, they reach for something healthy because that is what they have done repetitively throughout their entire childhood. So they're hungry. They need a snack. They're going to go grab a banana, or they want the small mini meal, so they're going to grab some, you know, a handful of nuts and some hummus and vegetables, whatever it is, but so that that becomes the training ground. You know, with our kids, we want them to be functioning, healthy, happy adults. So we give them skills and tools, whether it's brushing your teeth before bed and taking a shower every day. Well, eating is right in line with that. We need to be setting up daily, repetitive, healthy habits so that eating well isn't a strange concept to them. It's actually just what they consider eating. It's not bizarre, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, such good advice. And then one of the things that, you know, I hear so often now is we talk about the childhood diabetic, you know, epidemic and, you know, the ADHD and, you know, all of this related to diet. And is that, I mean, is that all related?
Yes, it absolutely is all related. There's a very interesting book, if any of the listeners are interested in picking it up. It's GAPS. It's called GAPS, and that stands for Gut and Psychology Syndrome. And it actually gets into the explanation of, because of our modern diets, our digestive system and our immune system have been dramatically weakened. As a result, it is actually causing not only inflammation, but it's also causing neurological, meaning brain, damage. And that is leading to a number of chronic health problems as well as developmental problems in children. Compounded upon that problem is the foods that we do eat, and especially foods marketed to kids, quite often not only have sugar added to them, but they also have food coloring and food dyes that have been directly linked to neurological damage. So when you are buying your kid that quote-unquote treat, you are actually putting toxins into their body that is causing their hormones, their brain function, their heart, all of these things to not function well. So they are absolutely linked, and as soon as we can start to clean out our digestive system and boost our immune system, our neurological, our brain function starts improving as well. So they are 100% related.
Incredible information. And then how does this relate also to gluten? Because I know a lot of kids, they can't have dairy and they can't have gluten. And I don't remember when I was in elementary school or junior high or high school having a single friend who had a gluten intolerance or dairy intolerance. So what's shifted? What's changed?
Yeah. So what's changed is actually our food supply and how we have started producing and manufacturing food. As it relates to gluten, the gluten and the wheat that we are currently eating looks nothing like the wheat we were eating even in the 1950s. Starting around the 1970s, there was actually a shift in food manufacturing and processing, and they actually genetically modified wheat so that if you looked at the chemical makeup of wheat under a microscope, it would look nothing like what it did 50 or 60 years ago. So what that means for us is that our bodies are no longer recognizing it as food. So when we put gluten into our bodies, our digestive system tries to reject it because, as far as it can tell, that's not food, and it thinks that it is a toxin and a poison, and it's trying to get rid of it. So that's why we're seeing such an influx of food sensitivities or gluten intolerance, because our bodies have not adapted to this fake food that we are putting into our systems. And as an addition to that as well, gluten is added to nearly every kind of processed food product. I mean, the list seems like it would be a mile long, and foods that you would never think of as having a gluten additive does, because it is a binder, so it makes food fluffier and stick together. So everything from salad dressings and soups and ketchups, even to body lotions and makeup products, have gluten in it. So,
really?
Yeah, we're oversaturated with it both internally and externally, and it's not a real food. It is a chemical byproduct, so to speak.
That's incredible. And what about dairy?
So dairy, what has happened, that is highly pasteurized. So with dairy, there can be a lot of sugars, as well as when you choose low-fat and fat-free options, what's happened is that they've taken out the fat, and in some cases, healthy fat that your body actually needs, because we do need fat to assimilate vitamins as well as for healthy brain function. So they've removed the fat, and in its place, they have put things like sugar and binders and additives. So that is also causing digestive problems, because once again, our body doesn't recognize it as something it functions well on. And add to that, because our dairies are largely factory farmed, a great many of the cows also get growth hormones as well as antibiotics. And so as a result, those hormones and antibiotics are in the cow system, which are then in your system because you have just drinking their milk.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea. I mean, this is so fascinating to me. And then how about MSG?
MSG actually has been linked to carcinogenic, so cancer-type activities, as well as neurological malfunctions. So if you pick up a food and you are looking at the ingredient label, which you should always do, P.S., whatever food, you want to look for foods that aren't processed. You want to look for just whole foods. If you are getting processed foods, always, always, always read the ingredient label. If there is MSG in it, I don't care what it is or how badly you want it, put it down.
Why do they still use it? Why is it used to cook in restaurants or in food if it's so deadly?
It can help food last a lot longer. So from a finance standpoint, if you have bought a large quantity of food to stock your kitchen with, you don't want it to spoil before you can cook it and sell it. So from that perspective, it helps you keep the longevity of the food. But one thing to keep in mind is food is meant to go bad. If you are eating a food that can stay on the shelf for weeks or months at a time and nothing happens to it, that is very scary. So unfortunately, food does spoil, but the healthiest foods are the ones that do have the shelf life.
That's just riveting. I'm sitting here just shaking my head like a little bobbing thing in the back of the car. You know, you can see me right now just saying, oh, my goodness. It's crazy that they put poison in our food. And so, you know, as we talk about children, McDonald's has Happy Meals, and you go to IHOP or whatever, and they have the chocolate chip pancakes with the happy faces, with the little smiley faces. Can we make food fun for children and for adults?
We can, and that's the thing that I think sometimes people, or maybe parents, miss is, you know, they don't want their kid to have a meltdown. And first of all, your kid is only going to have a meltdown if they have never been exposed to healthy food. Like if they're eating broccoli for the first time, yeah, they're probably going to think it's a little bit weird. But if it is something that's part of your home and your mealtime from the time that they can remember, that's not strange or yucky to them. That's just dinner. You know what I mean? And the thing with food is we've stepped away from making it a community event. It used to be that preparing meals and sitting down at the table and things like that were a mainstay of our daily lives. And I fully understand that because of jobs and hours and kids being in activities, it's very difficult for the average family to sit down and do that on a consistent basis. But as it relates to food, the more you can involve your kids in the process, the more inclined both they and you are going to be to eat healthy. So when you're going to the grocery store, bring the kids along and make it a family activity. Have them pick out not junk foods that they want, but have them actually get involved in putting the fruits and vegetables in bags. And when you get home, food prep for the week. Cut up some of these fruits and vegetables or meats or seeds or nuts or whatever it is, and actually have them get things ready for the coming week so that your meals are made ahead of time, but they're also made as a family. And this, too, just sets up, one, it's good social time so that the parents and the kids can actually interact and get to catch up with each other and spend good time together. And, two, it actually sets up, once again, very healthy habits so that as these children become adults, they are aware of and comfortable with making their own meals and grocery shopping for themselves and really understanding that meals do not come in a box that are pre-made. It actually does take a little bit of effort. You know what I mean?
And so are there snacks or food that a parent can send with a child to school instead of a bag of chips and cookies or whatever that is? I mean, is there an easy way to do that and to shift it from the home
I
front?
I think there is. You know, once again, it does take a little bit of extra, you know, maybe time or planning, but very simple things like apples and bananas. How easy is that to just throw in a bag? Or cut up a bunch of vegetables and make some hummus and put that in for a really great snack. Or put on some peanut butter or some almond butter onto some celery and put those in a baggie for them. Things like that where it just takes a matter of doing it and getting used to making it part of your routine, but that's so much healthier than just grabbing a snack pack of Oreos or whatever it is. Because then children start to think that that actually, not that Oreos are a dessert or a once in a while thing, but that Oreos are actually the main part of a meal, the same way that, you know, fruits and vegetables are. So it just kind of takes a matter of consciously retraining your habits maybe as an adult, but in turn passing those along to the children. And one thing, too, that I think – oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say one I think, I don't know if it's a complaint, but one problem that I think a number of families have is that they say it's not affordable to feed their families well. And they actually just did a study that says feeding your family healthy, organic food is only $1.50 more than the money you are spending on junk food and processed and prepackaged food, which is very, very exciting news because it kind of makes that excuse no longer valid. Yes, it is $1.50 more, but that is well worth it when you think about the money you are saving in healthcare costs and in medical visits.
Do you know that Lynn Twist is a friend of mine, and Lynn Twist runs the Pachamama Alliance, and the Pachamama Alliance works as far as saving the trees. Their mission statement is to create an environmentally sustainable, spiritually fulfilling, and socially just human presence on our planet. A beautiful mission statement.
Yeah.
And she was part of the World Hunger Organization originally back in the 70s, woke up one day, said, I know what I want to do. I'm going to eradicate world hunger. I mean, she's amazing. And she has raised more money than almost anybody I know towards causes. And she never, ever, 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 ever asks people for money. She talks about reallocation.
Okay.
And she asked people to reallocate money they were going to be spending anyway for Starbucks Frappuccino, money they were already going to spend today for whatever that, you know, thing is, and to reallocate it into saving the trees, the rainforest, the environment, the air, whatever that is, feeding our children. And so, you know, if you think about $1.50, it's money that's already been spent. You're already spending $1.50, but where are you spending that money, and can you reallocate it to actually give your child a better life?
Yeah, I love that. That's perfect. And then it doesn't seem like something that's going to be a financial strain, and it doesn't put it out of the realm of possibility. It's actually then a very doable, practical thing that you can do immediately.
Just brilliant. I mean, I love that that's what you're talking about. And then let's talk about the adults. So it's so easy as adults for us to be busy executives, and especially, you know, your top executives that are flying about or going to meetings and they don't have time to eat whatever is in their desk or whatever somebody plops down on their whatever, or they go out for the 5 martini lunch, you know, one or the other. And Or you have the really, you know, busy mom or a caretaker or a grandparents, that, you know, whatever that is. And so I know as adults that we think, one, we already have the stuff in our cupboard because we have kids and we can't avoid it because we open the cupboards and there's the chips and the cookies and the crackers and so we're just going to eat it. Or our lives are so busy we don't have time to lead a better lifestyle. Is that true and can it be changed?
It can be changed. And even if it is true that you are that incredibly busy or those things are going to be in your house, you still have the choice to change it. When business meetings come up, you prioritize them and you make sure they happen at a set hour on the set day. The same is true for your health and for your eating habits and for especially your children's eating habits. So the same way you prioritize your flights and your business meetings, you need to set time aside in your schedule for eating well or for making sure you have food on hand. As it relates to food that's already in your cupboards because it's there for the kids, well, why is it okay for that to be there for the kids? Like if it's something that you know as an adult you shouldn't eat because it's going to make you gain weight or feel bad or suck your energy, why are you feeding it to your child? And that's another connection people don't make. You know, they think because kids sometimes can be very active or hyper that they're just going to burn it all off anyway. So just as an adult, maybe your metabolism is slower so you can't eat the same foods. Well, when you are looking at it from a nutrient-dense approach, just because that kid might not show the effects of that food doesn't mean you are not still harming them internally and for their health issues down the road. And one thing, and this isn't my thought, but I've heard it before and it makes a lot of sense, is if you can't make time to be healthy now, you better make time and money to be sick later. And it's very, very true. I can't even remember who I originally heard that from, but it's a very serious consequence in that if you are so busy that eating well is not a priority to you, that will eventually catch up to you. And you will have doctor visits, and you will have medical costs, and you might possibly have surgery. So it really comes down to what is more important to you. What do you want to prioritize today, this week, that can prevent those things from happening years down the line?
So this is amazing information. And how does somebody work with you? Because, I mean, I know, like I was saying at the top of the show, I have friends that have worked with you, and they have literally, like, danced around the room. They're, like, different people. They're people that were, like, couch potatoes that are now, you know, truly, they're just twirling, and they're happy, and their skin and their life and their hair and their nails and their love life and their everything is just so much better. And so, you know, I know you're, like, the best at what you do. So do you work with families? Do you work with individuals? Or do you work with that busy executive who is, you know, jetting between countries and meetings and how does that work?
Yes. Well, and actually, I do work with kind of all of the above. And one side note is I love that the people that we know in common that have done the program that get so excited about it, that I'd love to hear because at the end of the day, my goal is to make eating well and eating clean fun for you. It should be something that actually you get excited about and that becomes a new lifestyle for you and that actually brings you not only, you know, fitting into the genes that you want to fit into, but that it actually markedly improves your overall health and happiness. And that is so exciting when people get a chance to experience that. And for a lot of people, it's something they think maybe is out of their reach or that's not that easily done. And when you can get the tools that help you see actually how easy it is, it's so exciting. So I love that. As far as how I work, I both individuals as well as families, depending on what they are looking to do. It all starts with a health consultation. So if it's for an individual, I have them fill out a health form, which gives me a good idea of where they are at, as well as their background, and then what their health goals are. And from there, I will customize a nutrition plan, and that can include everything from weekly meal planning to nutrition education to recipes to unlimited email support in between sessions, things like that. For families, what we'll do is take a broad overview of, you know, what their challenges are and how we can work through them. So if it is things like finances or time, then I will come up with meal plans and recipes and tips that can help them navigate that so that they still make those changes without adding stress and fatigue to their life. So it all starts with, you know, just that initial consultation of really getting to know each other better, which helps me understand their life. And from there, I can figure out what tools and programs are going to get them exactly where they would like to be.
I love when you said that. It just, I had the image of like some busy executive calling you up from like a Chicago steakhouse, like, Jody, I just ordered a bourbon and I'm looking at the menu. What should I eat?
Well, it's interesting because actually I do have, I'm based out of Santa Monica, California, but I do actually have clients across the country. And what we do is we just do sessions via Skype because it's a really great way for me to still personally see them and interact with them. And then I can just send them all the materials they need via email or via actual, you know, mail. But it's a fantastic way to still check in with somebody, and especially for people like executives that are traveling all over the place, so they think they don't have time to set up a meeting with me. Well, they can sit in their hotel room and have a session with me. Like, there are ways to work it into your life.
I could see a little kid on Skype with the apple and the Oreo. Jody, which one? Tell me which one. So to work with you, should people email you, or what's the very best way to find you?
The very best way to find me is go to my site, which is eatcleanhealth.com, and there's actually a contact page on that site, and that will allow you to put in your name and phone number and email address, as well as let me know what specifically your goals or programs that you are looking to do or are interested in, and from there I will respond and contact you. If people want to contact me directly, Jody, J-O-D-I, at eatcleanhealth.com is my email address, which you will also see on my site, and it's another fantastic way just to connect with me. I put out not only a weekly blog but a monthly newsletter, and a lot of people like to join that so that they get recipes and health tips that are just delivered to their inbox on a monthly basis, which can be a good, you know, introduction into making small changes or picking up tips here and there.
Fantastic. I absolutely love your work, and I love what you're doing. And for those of you that are listening to this show today, this is also available on the podcast. And so if you simply go to your phone, pick up your phone, and you text to 55678, simple, it's like a song, 55678, and the message is simply Nicole, you will be able to get this entire interview downloaded right into your phone. You can carry Jody around with you. You can listen to her beautiful voice telling you all these tips anytime you want. And I love that we're able to make that available to you because I think this is such important information. It truly is. And, you know, and you and I were talking as we talk about the kids. I just have a couple more questions. Do kids need salt? Like, you know, you see Gatorade, you see all these commercials and stuff. I mean, I know as an adult, my body goes, margarita. And I say to my body, do you want a margarita or do you want salt? What are you really looking for?
That's a very important question. And mine just be the tequila. So our bodies, actually, both adult and children, do need sodium, but that is very different than adding salt, like refined or processed iodized salt. Margarita salt, right? So, if your kid is incredibly physically active, say they're playing soccer or football or whatever they are, things like coconut water, things like bananas are excellent sources of potassium and things that will help their bodies naturally replenish without resorting to things like Gatorade or what have you. And your body's actually, as far as sodium goes, a little bit goes a long way. You don't need to salt your food in order to replenish that. If you're eating well, and as I just mentioned, with things like, say, bananas or coconut water, you can get it through natural, healthy, whole food sources without just, you know, taking a salt shaker to your burger.
Incredible. And then another question for kids is, as we go from little kids into bigger kids, I know that acne is a big teen problem, as well as emotional, hormonal balance as boys are becoming men and girls are coming into their teenage years and they're starting to change. And you know, does diet nutrition contribute to that emotional and to the skin condition as well?
Yes, absolutely. So so with the skin condition, there could be hormonal things that are going on that even if you're eating a very clean diet, you might still have some acne problems. But by and large, I would say about 90 to 95% is specifically diet related. So when acne starts to show up on your face, it's actually an indication that there's inflammation going on inside your body, and that inflammation can be equated to hormonal changes that you're going through as a teenager, but also very specifically to the foods that you're eating. So if you are eating very highly inflammatory foods, such as refined sugars and processed foods and soda and dairy, it is actually making the situation even worse. So that inflammation that's going on inside your body by showing up as acne is letting you know that something internally is very unbalanced. And so you can start to eliminate certain things from your diet and hopefully see a very dramatic change in your skin tone. And as it relates to emotions, it's actually very similar in that when you are eating a high sugar diet, you hormonally become a little bit unbalanced. The same way as an adult, if you have too much caffeine, you can tell that you get a little bit jittery and anxious. Well, same thing with high sugar foods. That's why a lot of parents, you know, there's a lot of meltdowns on days like Halloween, because your systems cannot handle that much sugar without resulting in pretty extreme emotions and anxiety and some meltdowns. So as that relates to teenagers, in addition to skincare problems, also mental and emotional problems, because you are extremely unbalanced in your food supply is causing mental mood swings and emotion swings that if you were eating a well-balanced diet would not be taking place.
So for adults that have dry skin or patches or thinning hair or any of, you know, as their body starts, you know, not being lubricated in a way, whether that be arthritis or joint inflammation, can diet change that, those things?
It can. On one hand of that question is if you are experiencing severe dryness or flakiness in whatever way, it might be that you aren't getting enough healthy fats into your diet, so you want to look for things like seeds, coconut, avocado, olive oil, things like that that can add those really fantastic omega-3 fatty acids to your system, thus your skin and your hair. And then if you suspect that things like arthritis are coming into play, that is directly related to inflammation in your body. And that actually entails not just adding in healthy fats, but actually taking out acidic and inflammatory foods and improving your digestive system. And a very broad but simple way to do that is to focus the majority of your diet on fruits and vegetables and healthy fats and lean protein and whole grains, because what causes inflammation from a dietary standpoint is when the majority of your meals are made of things like refined sugar and animal meat and soda and alcohol and processed foods. From a dietary standpoint, that creates inflammation in your digestive system. That, in turn, equates to inflammation and chronic illness in your body, things like arthritis being one of those indicators.
Mm. And I know when people come to you, and this is my big question, I guess, for you today as we're wrapping up, is, you know, most people are afraid to admit what they eat. If I ask people to write down what they had, they're like, they put their hands over their eyes and they look at their little feet and they're like, oh, I'm so ashamed. I had a cheeseburger and fries for lunch, or I had an Oreo, I had a Kit Kat, I was at the supermarket and it was in line with me, you know. And so how do you deal with people actually being afraid to talk to you about what they're eating,
yeah,
even to be able to get to the other side of that?
Yes. Well, first of all, as as it relates to me, there is no judgment. I never look with criticism or disdain on what someone is eating or not eating. That never even enters into the equation for a moment. So please know, if you are interested in talking with me, that there's no fear needed, because I will never, ever do that. My place in our relationship comes from a place of support. So wherever you are at right now is fantastic. I'm not asking what you eat to make you feel bad. I'm asking you what you eat so we can figure out how to make changes that are going to help you. So it's all just information from a really positive standpoint. And one thing I always encourage people to stop doing is to stop feeling guilty about the foods that you're eating. If you are trying certain diets or if you are ashamed to tell someone what you're eating, I guess part of you does know that it's not the healthiest choice for you, but also by being guilty or negative about it, you're actually compounding your problem because now instead of making positive changes, you're too busy beating yourself up, and that's not going to serve you, and it's not going to help you make change. It's going to keep you trapped in the place that you are. So if you can be gentle with yourself and just let that go and understand that I'm not judging you and you shouldn't judge you, everything that you've done up to this point is what you've done, but from now on we have choices and tips and tools that can help you do something different.
You know, as you're talking about this, I go back to what you were telling me about the kids when we were talking about legalized child abuse, and you were saying that you innately believe that parents, you know, want what's best for their kids and that they love their children and they want to protect them and they want to nurture them and they want to, you know, wrap them around with all of the wonders of the world. And, you know, we still want that for our children, but we don't often remember we also want that for ourselves, you know, for our inner child, that we want to protect our inner child and we want to make sure our inner child also has the very best of everything. And the very best joys and the very best, you know. And so I love this information that you have provided today. I think it's so important. And it's incredible because to have radiance and vitality and light and energy and health. And as you're saying, you know, if you're not going to be healthy now, you're going to be unhealthy later. Might as well, if we're here for the unlimited life, which is what this show is about, then to live unlimited, then we should be able to have everything that we've ever wanted, dreamed, and desired, and being able to fuel our body, our ship, with the very best nutrients and products and you know, wonderful, wonderful elements from the earth, from the sun, from the planet, and from each other. You know, what we've been able to instill and to grow. And so the fact that you have chosen this path and that you are the very best in your field, and that is always my desire when I'm, you know, doing a show, is that I want to bring the very best tools, the very best techniques, and the very best research artists and experts to the world. So somebody says, oh, my gosh, it was like that simple. Like the people that I know that come to you, that come back to me, and they say, oh, my gosh, if I knew it was this easy, I would have done this years ago. This is crazy. And not only is it this easy, it is more delicious than anything I've ever tasted. And why didn't you tell me? They're like mad at me that I didn't tell them about you earlier. And so I'm, you know, so pleased today that I'm able to bring you on to the show and to let the world know what you're doing and who you are, and your work is so remarkable. And you are such an incredible gift, and not just to all of, you know, listeners out there, but certainly, you know, all the people that you work with and to their families and to their children and to generations to come, because you really are that ripple in the stone of, you know, wellness and health. And so I love E-Clean Health. It's fabulous. It's brilliant. And so are you. And Jody, I thank you so much for taking the time to share your wisdom and your knowledge and being with us today on Unlimited Life.
Oh, thank you very much, Nicole. It's been a pleasure to be here and to share what I know. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Wow. Amazing information. So from our children, it's easy. I mean, you can keep things at eye level. I love that. Just eye level. There they are. They can grab it. It's $1.50 more to eat healthy, which is reallocation money you have already spent on Starbucks. It's something you've already spent on Oreos or whatever it is. You've already spent the money, reallocate it towards giving your child a happy and a healthy life, yourself, your relationships, with your partners, with your business associates and with the world. It's incredible to be able to have something that is that simple, that beautiful, that life-changing, that can really give you the unlimited life you dream and desire. So it's Nicole Brandon wishing you an amazing week and an unlimited life.